You know, no matter what we go through, He always turns it around for our good. You know, we go through a lot of things, but God is there to turn it around for us. Amen. You know, we're already had 31 days, actually a little more than that, because this is the 3rd of February, into 2019. Man, you know, at the first of the year, everybody gets excited and they set all kinds of goals and they begin to say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to change this and I'm going to change that. And about this time, the excitement starts to wane and people are tempted to let go of goals that they've set for the year. But you know, there's always, I don't know a word to use here, but when something is new, there's always, I guess one word you could use is there's always a honeymoon stage, you know, excitement, enthusiasm, and, you know, force on. But, you know, after a while, sometimes that excitement starts to wear off. How many of you remember the days right after you got born again and how turned on to God you were and how excited it was you were? Anybody remember that? Yeah. But you know, it wasn't long after that, the enemy starts bringing stuff at you, and if you're not careful, that excitement begins to wane. You know, we need to realize that actually one minister said it this way. There in our journey here in our Christian life, we have it's three stages, he says. I don't know, the grandeur or the excitement, the newness of it. And then the stage two is the guts, he called it. Believing God every day, fighting for what belongs to us, even when we don't feel like it. And then stage three is the glory part, receiving all the promises of God and accomplishing what God says that we can do. And you know, no matter what stage you may be in right now, we need to keep pressing on always. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, pressing on for the prize. Pressing on for the prize. Now, I think the Apostle Paul is one that we can look at, that he had to push hard and press and strain to finish his race. We've all read this, but we're going to go to Philippians 3, 13 to 14, and I'm going to read it from the New Living and then the regular Living Bible, and then God's Word translation. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus Christ is calling us. Now, the original, that was the New Living Translation. The original Living Bible said, no, brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. The God Word Translation says, but brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my stride, and I run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly calling offers in Christ Jesus. Now, these verses make it pretty clear that the Apostle Paul said, no matter what, no matter, I keep pressing on. No matter what he was facing, no matter how many victories he had or how many defeats he had, he kept pressing on. And this is true for each of us. We need to keep pressing on. But, you know, if we're not careful, the things of life will get us off course. They will cause us to not be able to finish the race like we should. You know, I've used this illustration before. I've told it before, but when I was running track in high school, we were a lower school, and we were running with the bigger ranked schools. And so they assigned us the outside lane in the, I believe it was a six-lane track. Now, I'm way out here in the 220, or 220-yard dash back then it was called. Now it's a 200 meters, but it was 220-yard dash back then. And I'm way out here, and that starter looked down at me, and he said, "All right, son, you're running with the big boys today. Just don't get in anybody's way." Well, that was like pouring fire on me, man. I said, "I'll show you." And for you that have run track, you know what I'm talking about. I hit it right on. I rolled out and hit it right on that gun. I mean, I hit it right perfect. And come around that curve, and I'm coming down the straight, headed toward the finish line. And I'm up here, and the stands are here. And I don't hear anybody else. Normally, you could hear somebody else running, but I don't hear anybody. And my mind began to tell me, "Oh, you are a fool. You're running down here in front of these grandstands. He fired two shots because you false started and you didn't hear it. You were so intent. And now look at you out here. You're making a fool of yourself." And but I wouldn't look. I kept doing it. Finally, it got so bad, I stole a glance over like this. And you're not supposed to. You keep your eyes on the goal. But I looked over like that, and there was a guy in the first lane here. And I found out later he and I had outdistanced everybody by about 6 or 8 yards, so I couldn't hear them behind me. But that cost me the race. We hit the finish line. You know, they got that deal across there. It hit him there, and it hit me here. 1/100th of a second. It cost me the race. Because I took my eyes off of the goal and quit really pressing hard because I looked to the side. You see, we have to keep pressing on, and we can't let anything detract us from what God has said belongs to us, for what God says that we can do. You see, the first step in running your race with God is to press into Him. Press into God. You know, James 4:8 says, draw nearer to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. New Living Translation says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. The Voice set translation says, come close to the one true God, and He will draw close to you. Wash your hands. You have dirtied them in sin. Cleanse your heart, because your mind is split down the middle. Your love for God on one side and your selfish pursuits on the other side. You see, we cannot afford to have a divided loyalty. We've got to be zeroed in on God. I like what it says here in the Voice. It says, your love for God on one side and what you want or your selfish pursuits are the things that you're pursuing over here. You know, what you want is not always what God wants. Thank God for those few amens. Some of the rest of you need to realize that. If you would, you might not be in the mess you're in. Oh, y'all didn't like that, did you? But that's the truth. It's the truth. When we go after our own pursuits instead of pursuing what God has for us, we get our lives in a mess. We get ourselves all messed up. God wants us to do what He's got us doing and not our own trivial pursuits. Divided loyalties won't work. You know, you won't receive anything. If you're divided, you don't get anything from God. Look what James 1, 6 and through 8 says. Now, I realize we don't like Brother James because he gets on us pretty good. But listen to this. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And that man, the word they've translated man there means mankind, everybody, both male and female. Now, look at this here, and let's look at this. But in the NLT, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalties is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. This goes right back saying what these other scriptures have said here in James 4. He's saying here, your love for God on one side, your selfish pursuits on the other, you're divided in loyalty. He says it again here in this script, you're divided in your loyalty. Now, it says here, we need to draw near to Christ with a true heart of faith. Now, you know, Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Now, I want you to notice that phrase, let us draw near. Now, according to Vincent's word studies, he says that means, when it says let us draw near, that means having a right and genuine inward attitude toward God. You know, the psalmist talked about drawing near to God in Psalm 73:28. He says this, But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do, talking about the Lord. Now, you can be confident that you'll be protected by God when you're living close to him. You know, that also helps you to be a better witness for him. You know, you can be walking, you know, on a dark street at night, but if you got your German Shepherd dog with you, you feel pretty protected. If you see me walking down the street, I got Lucky. He's a Great Pyrenees Mountain dog, weighs about 90 something pounds. And I'm going to tell you what, I feel pretty good when I got Lucky. I had him out last night, took him out on the leash there, and he didn't like something. He stopped dead, and he bowled up, and he went, brrr. I knew there was somewhere he didn't like. But hey, that makes you feel safe, right? Because I want to tell you what, I would not want to tangle with that big dog. he is strong. I mean, he comes running up to me sometimes and bumps against me, and I have to catch myself because he about knocks me down. But he's a good boy. But see, that's the way we need to be. We need to be in close to God. So, hey, we know we're protected by God. You know, I mean, if we way out here, and God's over here, it don't work sometimes. And you know, some people live like I did when I was a teenager until I accepted the call of God, because I knew better than to get off on his territory, because I knew it was going to be a drop off, it was going to be bad. So I walked right close to the line, making sure I didn't get over the line, but making sure I was far enough away from God that I couldn't hear what he is saying to me. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Some of you done the same thing. But we need to walk so close to God that he doesn't have to holler to get our attention. We need to be so close to him that if he just has a minute whisper, we can hear it. Amen? You see, how do we draw near to God who already lives with us? That's what people ask. Well, positionally, when you're born again, we have God with us. We are connected. But experientially, to be near him or be far from God in our thoughts, our priorities, our prayers, our desires, our activity. You see, the way you draw near to God is to experientially be there all the time. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been talking to somebody? I mean, you're right there with them and you're talking to them, but you can tell experientially they're not listening to a word you say. Anybody ever been there? Come on, let me see your hands up there. Yeah. Positionally, you were with them. Experientially, you weren't. That's what I'm talking about being with God. You got to give him your undivided attention. Your thoughts need to be with him. Increase your time. You want to get closer to God? Increase your time in the scripture and in prayer. Be God conscious at all times. I don't know how many times I heard my dad say that. Be God conscious, son. Be God conscious. One time I said, Dad, what are you talking about? He said, be more conscious of God and the things of God than you are the natural. Come on now. Well, you know, it took me a while, but I finally was able to understand that and begin to use it. Really, experientially, we need to be living in the shelter of the Most High. Psalms 91:1. Y'all all turn to Psalms 91 because we're going to read the whole thing. Got plenty of time. All right. Psalms 91:1 said, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, that's telling us if we want to have rest, then we live close to God. Then 91:2-16 tells us what happens when we live close to God. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Everybody found that? So you can follow along with me? If you're doing it on your iPad, mark yellow it or put some color on. If you got your regular Bible, you need to have this scripture needs to be underlined or highlighted. Excuse me. And you need to use it all the time. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He's my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrows that flies in the day. Do not dread disease that stalks in darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Now that's figuratively speaking, talking about the enemy, the devil himself, and all of his foes. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When you call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life. and give them my salvation. That's talking about living close to God. Now that's we have done this, I don't know, all our lives, I guess, or I know all our married life was done. I used to do it before him. And anytime we get in the car, anytime we claim the 91st Psalm, every day I claim the 91st Psalm. It's so a part of our family that Denise, she says she 91st Psalm. She teaches her boys the 91st Psalm. We all need to get, this is where you get, and this is what you get when you live close to God, pressing in. See, I'm still talking about pressing in. I'm still talking about running your race. Come on now. Anybody understand the benefits when we live close to God? It says it right here. I mean, they're great benefits. Hey, you know, actually, when you live in that place, that's where you receive direction for your life. It's easier to receive the direction from somebody when you're close to them than if they're hollering to you to do something, right? You know, you can receive strategies that are necessary to win in life. You know, the next step in running our race, you know, is to press on with God. First of all, you press in with God, then you press on with God. You see, he said, I have not if I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I press on, he said. And then it goes on to say, forgetting what is behind, I reach toward those things ahead. I press toward the goal. Now here he's talking about pressing on and reaching forward. He's describing that he was not passive in reaching and pressing on with God. You see, you can press into God, but you press on with God through all of your circumstances and your trials and your tribulations. You don't sit passively on the sideline waiting for him to do something. You get up and do something yourself. You see, everybody wants God to do something, and God's already done all he's going to do about it. In the Word of God, all you got to get up to do is quote the Word and begin to live and act like the Word is true. You know, we won't receive what God has for us by passively sitting around. We have to persevere and endure and press on through all of the circumstances. And somebody said, well, why do we have so much? Because you have so much trouble because the enemy is fighting against you and God. And he wants to keep you from receiving everything that God said belongs to you. So he, as we say, where I come from, he throws everything at you, including the kitchen sink. And where that statement come from, I'll never know. But, and I guess it means that everything's going to come against you. I guess that's what it means. I don't know what else it means. And that's sticking up there. That's an obstacle I got to press past. I notice everything. But persevere and endure. I wouldn't be where I am today without persevering through difficulties and maintaining an enthusiasm while I did it. You know, your passion has to be for pressing in and pressing on with God. Pressing into God and pressing on with God. You know, you just don't go part way and stop. Have you ever noticed some people, they start out, oh, praise God, hallelujah, glory, oh, I'm going to make it. And then all of a sudden, you don't see them around no more. They just kick it in. You know, then other people, I've seen it through the years. they get partway with God. See, that first group, they get discouraged and sidetracked and go back to their old ways. Others go partway and, oh, this is pretty good, I'm satisfied, and they never go any further. But if you want to get all that God has to you, you press through every difficulty, you press through every obstacle to accomplish what God says you can accomplish. You know, now, as we move into this, we got to realize that this is not the time to quit. The prize is worth the race. You know, how do we finish the fight, the race? Well, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's the New King James. The God's News Translation says, run your best in the race of faith. Win eternal life for yourself. For it was to this life that God called you when you firmly professed your faith before many witnesses. The J.B. Phillips translation says, fight the worthwhile battle of faith. Keep your grip on that life eternal to which you have been called, to which you boldly professed your loyalty before many witnesses. You know, if you remember, last week I was talking about fighting the good fight of faith, and I said we have to fight to believe God's word. We have to fight to speak and declare God's word. We have to fight to do and act on God's word. You know, some people are waiting for something to happen. You know, if you ever read after Smith Wigglesworth, he said, if God's not moving, then I get up and move God. Anybody ever read Wigglesworth? Let me see your hands. I can't see you up there. How many of you have read that statement from Wigglesworth? I see people raising their hand. Yeah, he said, you know, what he meant was, if God's not moving, then he gets the word of God and begins to move with the word of God, and then things will start happening. You see, I want you to realize that you have to act. You don't wait for the right time. You do what the word of God says. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to wait for the right time and then I'll act on the word. The right time to act on the word is all the time, every time, everywhere. You know, the fight of faith is won by believing, speaking, and doing what God's word says. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but it's a good story. And, you know, I run track. I like track. I like to watch it on when they show it, the Olympics, especially I like the Olympics and any track meets that they show, college, high school, whatever, because I've run a lot of races. And I've run with a lot of people that they start out good, but they don't finish. In fact, we lost the state championship in the 880 relay because one of our four, he just let down. He didn't do push through. This runner, it says in this story, he was running a marathon, and he hit the wall. It was all over. He could hardly pick his foot up, and people could tell that he had reached the end, and he was struggling, and he was about ready to quit. And suddenly, he picked up speed, and they watched him continue to have strength and run the rest of the race and finish. Afterward, when they interviewed him, they asked him, what happened? We saw you were about to quit, and suddenly you speeded up and finished strong. The runner replied, "I told God that if he had picked my feet up, I'd set them down. As I ran, I kept saying, 'You pick them up, I'll set them down.' And I kept saying that the rest of the race, and that gave me the strength to finish my race." You know, we need to get to the point that we're pressing on with God, say, "Okay, God, you pick that foot up, I'll put it down where you want me to go," and just keep going at it. You know, you don't start something not to finish. You know, Paul said it this way in Philippians 4:13. "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." That was the secret that Paul had to overcome all of the difficulties that he faced. And if anyone faced difficulties, if anybody faced troubles, it was the Apostle Paul. But he said, "I forget everything and I press on." Because how could he press on? Because his strength came from the Lord Jesus Christ, he says. You know, when he's talking about pressing on, he's and forgetting the things that are behind. The Apostle Paul had to forget that he was the one that was there holding the coats and, as we say down in Texas, agging the people on to throw the stones that stoned Stephen. He had to forget that he had went around killing Christians. And then he had to forget that he was had started the biggest mega church that there ever was in Ephesus. He started all those churches all over. But he said, forgetting everything that's behind. You're sitting up there this morning. Some of you have got all kinds of successes, and some of you got all kinds of failures. Hey, forget them all and press on in with God. He's got more for you than you ever thought you had. He's got more for you. I don't care what your mess has been. I don't care how much you have messed up. God has more for you. Forget it. If you have asked him to forgive you and now you're moving on with him, do not let that come up in your mind and say, "Oh, I messed up." No, move forward from that. That's the only thing you can do. The past is history. It's already happened. But what happens in front of you is up to you, whether you press into God, whether you press on with God. It's up to you. It's not up to God. It's not up to me. It's not up to your friend, your spouse, your brother, your sister, anybody else. What you get from God, where you end up with God, is up to you, not up to God. Hallelujah. This morning, I wanted to stir up your pure minds that it matters not where you are. What matters is, are you pressing into God and are you pressing on with God to get all of the promises of God to come into your life, so that you will live that abundant life that he said that he wanted you to have. He said, "I want you to have life and have it more abundantly." It's up to you whether you live that life or not. It's up to you whether you ever accomplish everything that God has for you or not. You know, you can sit down and be satisfied with what you got, or you can move on and press on toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, I only took a few minutes this morning to remind these people that you're there for them. You're on their side. If they will press into you, then you will help them to press on and overcome every obstacle in their life and receive every blessing of the promise. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You know, would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? You know, you may be in this place and you say, "Hey, Pastor, I don't really know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Well, you need to. And you can before you leave here today. Or you may be here and I feel in my heart, the Spirit of God speaking to me, there is several that you have started out with God, but you have just quit. And you need to come back and rededicate yourself to God today. If that's you on any one of those invitations, would you please raise your hand and just keep it up for a minute? So ushers, help me. I can't see very good up there. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. I know there's several that need to rededicate, need to say, okay, God, I messed up. Over here, thank you. Thank you. Are there others? Are there others that would raise their hands? I know there's several. It's up to you. I can't make you. All I can do is give you an invitation and an opportunity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Another hand. Thank you. I'm just going to take my time. Don't let the enemy rob you today. Don't let him rob you of your blessing today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody stand, please. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, where is Roger? All right. See that man right there raising his hand, waving his hand. Since you can't get down here, that's Roger Sharp. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to go make your way to him. There are going to be others with him. You're going to go to a place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Make sure you get what you needed today from this meeting. So would you move right now? Move out. Don't nobody else moving unless you're moving to go back there to change your life. Come on. I saw at least two hands, maybe three. Come on. Don't let it. If you're over on this side, just nobody move unless you absolutely have to, please. If you're over on this side, just go up on that big aisle by the wall and walk around over here to where they're at. If you're over here, do the same thing. God wants to meet you today where you're at. He wants to change your life forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They're going to sing just one more time. If you're going to move, move now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that went to be prayed with. Thank you that their every spiritual need will be met today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Listen, don't forget the announcements. We still need people to help in the Winter Bible Seminar. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Amen. Today, on Rhema TV, we had 8,226. And on Facebook Live, we had 739. We're so glad for all of you that tuned in and with us. Thank you for being there. I know many of you are there every week. Thank you for being there. Wednesday night, Hour of Power right here. Come believing, come expecting. Let's see where everybody's going. I'm going north this morning. Huh? Yeah, pastoral staff, y'all got to get from up in the balcony, so y'all need to get to your doors. Craig and Bill will be at the south door. Don and Denise at the east door. Tad and Amanda will be at the west door. And Marvin and Leah will be in the connection team. Connection team, go find our first-time guest. Take them to the connection room so we can connect with them with that special gift. Nobody moving unless you have to, unless you're going on a first-time guest. It makes the aisles pretty crowded when too many people are moving. Thank you for being here. I trust you. Anybody get anything out of this message this morning? Don't ever quit. Keep on going for God. God bless you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, right here. God bless.